And welcome, dear listeners. Josh Haston here, Israel Uncensored, on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. It is the 30th of January, 2017, and the world, I think, is a different place than when we last spoke. The inauguration of a new president in the United States, what it means for Israel, time will tell. We shall see what this new chapter in our history is all about and how the effects of the Trump administration, what those effects have on us here in the Land of Israel. I am in Gush Etzion. I am in Efrat, a beautiful view here from the window of the house of Nadia Matar, co-founder of a very important organization, Women in Green. And we've had Nadia on the show before, doing amazing, amazing work for the people of Israel here in the Land of Israel. And she's getting ready for a very, very important event taking place Sunday, February the 12th, 2017, at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Jerusalem. It is the fourth annual Sovereignty Conference, Sovereignty with Responsibility, an additional step forward in awareness and practical implementation of the vision of full Israeli sovereignty over Judea and Samaria. I've had the honor of being at the conference, I believe, at least two out of the first 3 years, and I've already signed up for this year's event, February the 12th, Sunday evening. It should be an amazing event. I see the schedule here, a lot of sessions with very important people talking about applying sovereignty over Judea and Samaria. Here now to talk about it, Nadia, thanks for joining us here on Israel Uncensored, Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com.
Shalom. I want to add that I am co-chair of Women in Green together with Judith Katzaver, who is one of the fighters for Hebron already for 50 years and one of the founders of Kiryat Arba Hebron, and I have had the honor of working with her since Gush Katif.
So tell us about this year's event, fourth annual conference. How is this year's event perhaps going to be different than years previous, and what are some of the highlights? What can we expect on Sunday night, February the 12th?
We live in very historical times. I think we always say that, but I think that this time it's really very special. We have a new administration in America. We have 50 years to the liberation of Judea, Samaria, to the victory of the 67 war. We have a PA authority that is on the verge of collapse and being finished. We have a poll that we did in preparation for this upcoming conference that shows that the majority of the Israeli public, 75%, are in favor of sovereignty. Only 7% are left favoring the creation of a Palestinian state. So we have done a lot of work since 6 years ago when we decided to go on a campaign for sovereignty. If I may, just two sentences, remind your listeners. As you know, we started after Gush Katif. We understood that the next battle will be Judea and Samaria, and Women in Green, together with others, we decided that we have to focus on safeguarding different areas in Judea and Samaria, and we were very successful in safeguarding this hill and that hill. We're not going to go into details now, but then at one point, Judith Katzaver said, here we spent 6 years to safeguard this Shdema army base, another few years for another little hill. Those are little hills. That's not how we're going to save all of Judea and Samaria. How did we get to the point where we grandmothers and other activists have to even deal with this? Because after 67, when we won the war, Israel did not apply sovereignty, did not basically tell the world what we want to do with those areas. And for 50 years, there's been a military rule over Judea and Samaria. And at that point, 6 years ago, Judith said, it is not enough what we do. The national camp is great at two things. A, building. Thank God we brought 750,000 Jews in Judea and Samaria, including Jerusalem, East Jerusalem. And we've been great at saying no. No to a Palestinian state. No to caving into terror. No to giving them weapons. No, no, no. What is our yes? What is our vision? And that's when we started 6 years ago the campaign for the application of Israel's sovereignty. That is our yes, that is our vision. That is what we need and that is what the national camp wants. That is Zionism, to be here, not only to live here, not only to build here, but to be sovereign here, which is a very big difference and very important addition. It's not enough to just build. You need to be sovereign here. And to make a long story short, the difference will be with the other three conferences and our conference now is that 6 years ago, we were looked upon as lunatics. We were not the first ones to deal with this. We joined up with people who had already before us spoken and written about sovereignty, Caroline Glick and Martin Sherman and Uriel Litzur of blessed memory and many others who had written about it personally. But then we all together gathered to make a campaign. People thought we were crazy. We don't have to deal with this. Just focus on building. And I think that all together, we did an incredible work of Hasbara, of putting the word sovereignty in the mind of the people. And now we have to discuss, and that's what's going to be, okay, now we all understand we need sovereignty. How will it be done? What can be done? What's going to be with the major questions about the Arabs, etc.? That is the difference with this conference will not only put the word sovereignty in the mind of people, we'll try to answer the difficult questions.
Though, and some of those questions, I want people who may not understand the realities of the situation here. What exactly does that mean, sovereignty? Okay, you have Jews who live in the land of Israel in places like Haifa and Tel Aviv and Akko and throughout the country. And then you have a different set of rules when it comes to the residents of Judea and Samaria. You have the Israeli military calling the shots. You have the civil administration. I want people to understand the difference. What is it for someone like yourself and myself who live in Judea and Samaria, how are our lives different, if you can explain to the listener, than those who are living in so-called Israel proper or pre-1967 Israel? What's the difference and why is it so important, the whole concept of sovereignty?
Excellent questions. Very few people know that we have a different status. You and I and all the 450,000 Jews in Judea and Samaria have a different status than the Jews in Haifa or Tel Aviv. If somebody in Haifa wants to close a porch or wants to build a second floor to his house, he goes to the architect and with the plans of the architect, he goes to the municipality. The municipality checks. If they accept the plan, they give the okay and he can go and start building. By us, we have to start the same process. We go to the architect, we hand in the plans to the municipality, whether it's here in Efrat, let's say. But let's say Efrat approves, then that doesn't mean we can start building like our brother in Haifa. We have to then go on to the next step and get a signature of the Minister of Defense. The Minister of Defense is basically the ruler here in Judea and Samaria. We are not directly under the Prime Minister, directly under the government of Israel. We are directly under the rule of the Minister of Defense and of the civil administration. And that basically we're the only people here who are under military rule. The Arabs are not because they're under the PA. And we are. So that is one of the big things. When we say the application of Israeli sovereignty, that means applying Israeli rule over Judea and Samaria. Because on the other hand, even though we don't have the same status, we do have the same obligations. We have to, of course, and we want to do our obligations. We want to pay taxes, and we pay taxes. We want to send our children to the army, and we do send them to the army. But when it comes to getting, not obligations, but rights, we have less rights. That is the difference. And when we call about the application of Israeli sovereignty, it means, some people say, what does it mean? It means turning Judea and Samaria like Haifa and Tel Aviv and Be'er Sheva, making it, doing what we should have done the day we won the Six-Day War, to include it as part of the land of Israel, the state of Israel.
Thanks for that clarification. It's very important that people understand it. And actually, in the news today, literally today, the Knesset is set to deliberate on what is known as the Chok Hasdara, or putting things into order. The plan is to retroactively legalize 4,000 housing units in Judea and Samaria if it passes and if the Supreme Court doesn't strike it down. There are some who are saying that perhaps, and some are saying it cynically, perhaps not in favor of it, but There are those who are in favor of it, of course. They say that this might actually be a positive step towards the concept of sovereignty, recognizing that these 4,000 units belong to Jews. When they were built, when they were established, they did have backing of the government, whether its infrastructure was put into these units. So today, literally today as we're speaking, the Knesset is getting ready to vote on these 4,000 units. Tell me, in your opinion, is this a positive step? Is this a first step, perhaps, in the concept of applying sovereignty? That's number one. And number two, on the other hand, you also have a movement at the same time, it's a long question, about places like Maale Edomim and other areas which certain members of Knesset are lobbying towards applying sovereignty, starting with these certain areas, Malaya Dumim and other communities, maybe in Gush Etzion, and then going to the other communities. So number one, tell me what your feelings are on the application of legalization over the 4,000 units, and then your thoughts on the concept of starting with Malaya Dumim and then maybe moving on to the other areas.
After this interview with you, in fact, Yudit and I are going on our way to Jerusalem to the vigil organized by the Amona people at 10 o'clock in front of the Knesset and the Rose Garden, calling for saving Amona and not destroying it. And why am I mentioning this as part of my answer? Because that is part of the answer. This whole law that they're going to vote for today came about when they were trying to find a way to save Amona from being destroyed. Unfortunately, in this law, the regulation number 7, which included Amona, supposedly, as from what I heard in the news, Amona is not included in this law. That is basically why the Amona people called upon us to come and to protest and to basically tell the government, if you already are going to vote for this law, which is an incredible, great law, then include us too. We're not going to dwell on the details now, on the legal and the legalities of it, but really we also are joining in this call. Now, the law itself is a wonderful law on its way to sovereignty. Had we applied sovereignty long ago, we wouldn't have need this, as you understand. But on the other hand, from speaking to members of the Knesset, from speaking to ministers, from seeing how the majority of the ministers in this government are in favor of the application of Israeli sovereignty, from hearing Minister Yariv Levin, who said that the first step towards the sovereignty is basically such kind of laws, we certainly are in favor of this law, and we hope it will pass, and we hope that the Supreme Court will not be able once again to destroy this and to bring it down. As to your second question, we do have friends. The Land of Israel lobby, together with Rogavin, have decided to also take sovereignty on their agenda. They decided to tactically start with the first domino, as they call it, Maale Adumim, as a test case. They make it very clear that Maale Adumim is just the first step, and of course they want sovereignty over everything. We came out in Women in Green with an article that warning that maybe Maale Adumim is to ask for too little. And we would have preferred, of course, we're in favor of it and those are our friends, etc. But now that the conditions have changed, that we have a Trump administration, that we have so many other factors that I mentioned at the beginning of the interview, and remembering that Maale Adumim was even in the infamous Geneva Accords part of Israel, which we believe should be, if you already go as a first step by step, we think that it should be on everything, of course. But if you already go step by step, then maybe the demand should be all of Area C. Go for all of Area C at least. And that will at least prevent the creation of a Palestinian state. Just Maale Adumim, we're going to get flak from the world. We know that. So if you're already going to get flak from the world, then get it for something big and not for a little crumb. So that is our answer.
I'll tell you, and why I agree with you there is because, you know, for years we've been talking about a whole concept of settlement blocks, as they call them. And I don't use the word settlement. I just for clarification, people say the recognized blocks, Ariel and Maale Adumim and Gush Etzion. But the problem really is, if you ask the other side, if you ask Mahmoud Abbas and the Palestinian Authority, they don't talk about settlement blocks. They don't talk about those areas which they're willing to recognize. They don't recognize Jewish rights to 1 inch of Judea and Samaria. And of course, they don't recognize 1 inch of Jewish rights to the entire land of Israel. And that's the problem. There's a misconception that these areas, Maale Adumim, if you're close enough to, let's say, the major cities, then it's kosher. But if you ask the other side, and if you listen to the official Palestinian Authority media, and you've listened to what they say on a daily basis, they don't recognize 1 inch of this entire area as having a Jewish historical significance. And I really think that's the problem. People have to stop with this whole notion that Gush Etzion is kosher and Itamar is not kosher. People have to stop with that because the other side doesn't recognize 1 inch and there really is no difference to them.
I completely agree with you. And therefore, I also am very wary of those who call for the only sovereignty on Area C, for instance. As you know, in the sovereignty camp, you have different people and with different plans. In fact, at our conference, we hope to come out with a plan that we believe should be pushed. I just told you a scoop, and I hope I will stand by my promise. And we're working on it very hard with different professors, etc. But the main thing is that somebody who says he only wants sovereignty over area C, and let's forget about area A and B, hey, this is Eretz Israel. Shechem, Shiloh. I mean, I'm going to maybe say the same way 6 years ago when we talked about sovereignty, people looked at us, and thank God it was accepted. Now we're saying things that maybe people are still again going to look at us. I want to be able to buy a house in Shechem. I want to be able to buy a house in Hebron. Not Hebron where the Jews live. All of Hebron belongs to us. And therefore, we have to remember that if we only put a call for the application of sovereignty on parts of the land, that is basically giving up on other parts of Eretz Israel. And we have to remember that the main reason that we want to apply sovereignty is because this is our land. This is ours, every inch of it. And unfortunately, only because of the accursed Oslo Accords did we get disconnected from areas with big red signs that say no entrance to Jews. I don't know if people are aware or know this, that at the entrance of the major Arab, I call them not the Arab cities, but cities under Arab control or occupation, like Shechem and Bethlehem, etc., or temporary Arab occupation, they have big signs that Jews cannot go and visit there. Nobody talks about that. So to answer your question in one sentence, I agree with you. We have to remind ourselves and everybody else that the entire western side of the Jordan River is Eretz Israel, and there will only be one sovereign body there called the State of Israel.
So again, Sunday night, February 12th, you have a slew of important guests, ministers in the government, professors, academics.
We also have, for the first time, a panel with Arab minorities who are against the creation of a Palestinian state and who want Israeli sovereignty, who have really the incredible omets, how do you say,
the strength
to come and talk and in public, and we certainly are very grateful. And there's a lot of people there, and we urge you, though, because it is in a hall that only holds a few hundred people, to register on time by entering our Women in Green website or by the ribonut.co.il website. Thank you, Josh, for all your wonderful work.
I was going to ask you what's going to be the highlight with all these speakers, but maybe that will be the highlight. I see you have the Sheikh Farid Jabri, yes, who's going to be speaking at the conference, talking about what it means as a Muslim. Yes,
yeah, he's a Muslim and he lives in Hebron, and he is very much against the PA. He certainly came to the conclusion that the worst thing for them is the creation of a Palestinian state, and he wants to live under Israeli rule.
I'm signed up. I hope you are too, dear listener. If you're here in Israel, maybe you'll fly to Israel and sign up.
English speakers, you should know there will be simultaneous. It will all be in Hebrew, but will be simultaneous translation by a professional into English.
Sunday night, February 12th, just around the corner, Crown Plaza Hotel, Jerusalem, the fourth annual Sovereignty Conference, Sovereignty with Responsibility. The one and only Nadia Matar, co-founder of Women in Green. I want to thank you so much for your time. Looking forward to the conference. Keep doing the holy work that you do here in Gush Etzion and throughout the land of Israel. Thank you so much, and we'll see you, please God, on February the 12th.
Thank you, Josh, and keep up your good work of Hasbara for the land of Israel. We follow you, and you're amazing.
Thanks so much. I appreciate that. We're going to take a short break right now here on Israel Uncensored, the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. When I come back, just a little bit more about things going on in the news. You can get in touch with me during the week, josh@thelandofisrael.com. I appreciate each and every one of your emails. On Facebook, it's Joshua Haston, and on Twitter, @JoshHaston. Short break to thank our sponsors. We'll be right back with much more here on Israel Uncensored, Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. Don't go anywhere.
The best place to stay in Jerusalem is at Windows of Jerusalem Vacation Apartments. Check out their website, www.windowsofjerusalem.com. They've got beautiful 1, 2, 3, 4-bedroom apartments in the best location in the city center with the most beautiful, breathtaking views, and I mean breathtaking. I've stayed there a number of times myself, and I'm telling you, there are few places anywhere in the city where you can take it all in to this degree. The view, the location, the great apartments, plus the wonderful staff will truly make you feel at home in Jerusalem. Book your stay now at windowsofjerusalem.com.
And we are back. Josh Haston here, Israel Uncensored on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. for the 30th of January 2017. Thanks again to Nadia Matar for that great interview. Women in Green, and on the upcoming Sovereignty Conference in Jerusalem. Now, just a couple other items here in the news that I want to discuss before we wrap up the show for today. Of course, major story around the world is the Trump administration's immigration policy, which, I mean, is drawing ire, just unbelievable outrage and hate against the Trump administration, against President Trump, all over the world, on social media, in the streets. And the hypocrisy is really what gets me. It's unbelievable. You know, you have half a million dead in Syria. You had all those ISIS videos burning people alive and drowning people in those cages. Yet I didn't see any demonstrations against ISIS. I didn't see people calling for the end to what's going on in Syria. I didn't see people taking to the streets. Yet now people are taking to the streets all over the world, here in Israel as well. People taking to the streets in support of Muslims who they believe should be able to immigrate into the United States. And I can't take the hypocrisy. Where were these people for the Yazidis? Where were these people for the Christians? Where were they during the beheadings and the torture and the rape and everything else going on, and the half a million people dead in Syria? And I don't remember these demonstrations then. You didn't have a million women demonstrating in Washington for the plight of the women in the Middle East suffering at the hands of the various administrations and countries and male-dominant societies throughout the Middle East. You didn't have any of that. But now you have demonstrations, and I just can't take the hypocrisy of it all. Also drawing ire were the statements made by the Trump administration, the statement that came out on International Holocaust Remembrance Day, the fact that the administration did not include the word Jew, did not mention the 6 million Jews who were murdered in the Holocaust specifically during that commemoration day this past Friday. And I can understand if people are upset that he didn't say the word Jew or mention 6 million specifically. I can understand that. Okay, so you can be upset that he didn't say the Holocaust against the Jewish people, because while many others were killed in the Holocaust, the Jews were singled out, and that isn't a secret. That's not something that's really debatable. Hitler sought to destroy world Jewry, beginning in Europe. I don't think there's much debate there. So you can be upset if you want about the fact that the administration didn't mention Jewish or Jew in regard to the Holocaust. But if the Holocaust is, let's say, unique for the Jews, not Jews specific because others were killed, but if you believe that the Holocaust is on its own, it stands alone when it comes to what happened to the Jews, then how is it possible, and I'm looking at the front page of the Jerusalem Post today, how is it possible people are demonstrating in Tel Aviv with a never again sign in a Jewish star? The hypocrisy there, comparing 1941 Nazi Germany and what happened to the Jews to a Trump administration policy against immigration for a specific period of time for specific countries, with the goal of trying to vet it out, of the goal of vetting out possible terrorists from entering the borders of the U.S. How can you compare the two? How can you say that the Holocaust is unique in 1941 and then use Holocaust imagery on the streets of Tel Aviv against Donald Trump? And that's really what this is. This is a demonstration against President Trump, and it's taking many forms. But the hypocrisy is what gets me. The hypocrisy over and over, which we're seeing whether you want to call these extreme left wing individuals or whomever they are, the hypocrisy, those who did not and do not stand up for women in the Middle East and marched on Washington now. Nothing over the last 8 years, nothing over the last 20, 30 years, or how, as long as it's been going on. Take Iran. How many people have demonstrated against treatment of women in Iran all these years? The hypocrisy is what gets me, people. There's plenty of other news which we're not going to get to today. If you missed the first half of the show, go back and listen to Nadia Matar and the importance of sovereignty in Judea and Samaria. We deserve it, don't we? We deserve the same rights as the residents of the rest of the country, building rights and everything else that goes along with being citizens of the state of Israel and serving in the army and giving back to the country and everything else that the people do throughout Judea and Samaria. We should be equal. And at this point, honestly, I don't feel equal. When I have a refrigeration delivery company saying that they're going to charge an extra fee or they don't want to come out and deliver to areas of Judea and Samaria, not necessarily even because of security, just because things like that and the building rights and everything Nadia mentioned, that has to change. We should apply sovereignty over the entire land of Israel. I believe that, and it'll be an interesting conference on February the 12th. That is going to do it for today. Big shout out to Binyamin Breski, engineer extraordinaire. Without him, there's just no audio, folks. There's no sound. And also shout out to the rest of the hosts here on the Land of Israel Network for all the wonderful shows they put together each and every week for you, our dear listeners. And also make sure you're in touch with me during the week. Let me know what you think of the show. Love the show, hate the show. Let me know your opinions. Josh at thelandofisrael.com. On Facebook, it's Joshua Haston. And on Twitter, at Josh Haston. Signing out from Israel, where the sun has come out after a weekend of rain. But it's supposed to come back. I love the winter. I love the rain. Let it rain here in Israel. Rain of blessing. We surely need it. That's all for today. Regards from Israel. All the best. Most importantly, wherever you are, until we speak again, be safe. Shalom, shalom from Israel.
Hey folks, this is Jeremy Gimpel. I want you to know, if you are a non-Jew from a Christian background or just a full-fledged Christian and you want to come to Israel, the best program, tour, experience that you could possibly have is to go with Hayovel. Now it's weird, I'm an Orthodox Jewish rabbi and I'm telling Christians to go to this Christian ministry in the middle of Samaria. Let me tell you, there is no better experience for someone outside of the land, outside of the Jewish fold, to come into the land and work alongside the Jewish farmers of Samaria, to learn about the culture, to meet the people. It's an experience like no other, and I think it's also probably the cheapest way to travel to Israel. So go to hayovel.com.